4.2 million Americans have now been canceled by their insurance companies.
Canceled your show.
And Futurama's been canceled.
Canceled.
Canceled too soon.
Is officially canceled.
Be canceled twice.
His launch pre-order bundle was canceled. Do we know it's a his?
Have been effectively canceled.
And abruptly canceled.
From Target is canceled.
Or unceremoniously canceled.
The plan was being canceled.
The cabal has been canceled.
The role of the Rothschild family.
Money and power.
Monsanto and a few other chemical companies.
Culling the population through eugenics is their answer.
The World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, IMF, and the World Trade Organization.
These are the most disgusting people on the face of this earth.
For they control the information.
The powerful few people who run this planet.
They're not as powerful as you think.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Now brings you Cancel the Cabal with Stephen Roberts. Stephen Roberts.
Red or blue?
All right, and welcome, everyone. It's officially Monday morning over there in Ireland, Scotland, the UK, and elsewhere in the EU. It's still Sunday evening over here, Easter Sunday evening. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this is a very special Sunday night Cancel the Cabal. I need to ask my guest what he said just before my intro almost was finished there, but I kind of drowned him out. But I want to welcome Vin to the show. Welcome, Vin. You just did 3 hours on your own, waving something over your little laptop, trying to keep it cool.
Yep, I'm still doing it right now.
still waving something over his laptop.
I have is the back, an A4 piece of cardboard, and I'm wafting it over it because. It's now officially my heating system in the house.
He showed me a picture of it. He Googled up what he's got there or whatever and showed me a picture, and looks like a tiny little thing. I mean, it doesn't look much more than a glorified smartphone or something like that.
Yeah, except smartphones have more memory.
Some of the better ones.
My young fella has a smartphone. I think it has 8 gig of RAM. This thing only has one.
Wow.
But look, don't knock it. It worked. We carried it off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It worked, so.
I actually caught, after my show, my other show ended, I caught the last 2 hours and heard you talking about the official offer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually going to make up some little thing and make up flyers. Put them, pass them out in my area. Yeah, you know, maybe go around at nighttime and hopefully people won't see me. Put them in their mailboxes. Otherwise, somebody might call the police or I might get shot doing that. Who knows? Or I could just go up.
They're gonna say, your neck of the woods going around at nighttime is probably not a good idea.
Probably not.
Egg, though, orange or something, you know?
Yeah.
I put a big sign above your head. I'm a nice man, really. Don't shoot.
Don't shoot.
I'm only, you know, kind of too much information to get on the flyer, is it? You know, don't shoot. I'm a nice guy. I'm only trying to give you this.
Yeah. I'm only trying to help out.
What's that sign saying? Bang.
Oh, bang, grandma. Yeah. You know. Shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah.
But, I recall the first time I ever heard about the official offer. Mm-hmm. I had Nick on, and then some of me's come on, Doug come on, and he started to explain some things, and, you know, it really hit home because I believe in like 2004, I went through a bankruptcy.
Right.
And I had to get. I'm sorry?
I never knew that. You never said that to me before, I don't think.
No? Well, I did. 2004, I went through a bankruptcy. I had lost a very good job, and I'd lost about probably close to a $75,000 to $80,000 job.
Yikes.
A year, yeah, in income. That's when I went on disability. Actually, I just couldn't work anymore. I was working myself like a dog, 19, 20 hours a day. I had my own business. I had a small trucking company.
Sorry, Stephen, I'm just going to let me dogs out, but I can hear you. Keep
sure,
talking later.
Sure. That's all right. But, yeah, I had a small trucking company. I worked myself like a dog, 19, 20 hours a day, all over the road on the over here in the United States, traveled all over, delivered things. But anyways, yeah, I couldn't work anymore. I got so very sick and tired and just beat up where I just couldn't do it anymore. And I didn't really lose the job. I just had to do something differently. I had to, I had to get on disability. And what I didn't know about disability was it's virtually a life thing. Once you.
Sorry, back, Stephen. Yeah, it's, over there, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a kind of a pathway, if you will, that once you go down that path, it's murder, literally, to get off it, isn't it?
Well, it's not so hard to get off of it. But, you know, somebody that's on disability, they can go back to work. They just have to forego their disability anymore. But if they decide that they just can't handle it and they want to try to get back on, that's where it's murder.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. In other words, if you take the chance, the risk of going back.
Yeah.
Basically never going to get your ass back on disability again.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Wow. And I mean, think, you know, I mean, these ideas that are, you know, the politicians will say, oh, you can come and go, no problem, right?
Yeah, yeah. But it doesn't. Well, politicians, we all know about them.
Would you have gone down the official offer road, do you think, rather than go for bankruptcy the last time around?
If I would have known about it, sure.
Right.
Like I told Nick that first night, and Nick and Doug that first night, I talked to them about it. And then, you know, that was on the show. The bankruptcy lawyer that I had, and yes, over here, they have lawyers that specialize in bankruptcies.
Yeah. Oh, same here.
Yeah. But, he told me under no uncertain terms that I could offer lower amounts of money for like my utilities, my truck payments. This, that, and the other. But he said if I wanted to save my home, I had to pay the full amount of the mortgage. And,
He's incorrect.
Looking back on it now, I don't think he was incorrect. I think he was just lying.
Okay. That's a more.
Yeah.
A direct way of,
saying he was incorrect. Okay.
Yeah. Lying shysters. Okay. I'll stop.
I have told you the joke, right?
Go on, hit me again.
You know why they're called lawyers?
Yeah.
Because liars was taken.
Lion sack of shit was taken. Yeah.
Yeah, they did, Lori. It duped me. I wanted to save my home. I had a very, very nice home. I had a 3-bedroom home on 5 acres way out in the country. I had a deck out back. The neighbors were a long, long ways away. You know, I could go out there in my underwear and pee out there on the deck if I wanted to. And I did a few times, but I know that's too much information. But
I was about to say, just stop right there. You were doing good. You were doing real good.
Oh, they'll get a good crack out of that. But yeah.
Hey, your dog's now barking. I'm just going to go bring him back in. Sorry about this, Dave. Just give me 2 seconds.
That's okay. I love that place. It was way out in the middle of nowhere. Nice little place. Had 5 acres. The neighbors weren't all that close. I got that home for $82,000 in 1998. And when I finally had to stop working and go on disability, I got into arrears about 8 or 9 months. And 8 or 9 months back. Yeah. And that lawyer told me under no uncertain terms that I had to pay the full amount of the mortgage. And now looking back on that, that really upsets me because that was a nice house. I did end up selling it though. I didn't totally lose out on it. I sold it for $105,000. But, I actually asked, let's see, what was it? I asked for 120,000 and I ended up getting 110, but the bank took the other five because I owed 105 on it. Are you back there yet, Ben?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm listening to you.
Okay. Yeah. But, you know, that's really upsetting that, well, I don't really know, you know, he might have been ignorant of the facts himself. So I can't really call him a liar.
Possibly, you see, I mean, he could have been just a guy who learned the so-called legal route,
the
of
system,
bankruptcy
yeah.
hearings and all the processes, and he just put you through the machine.
Yeah.
Effectively, that's what they do, right? They're not necessarily bad people. You know, I mean, it's easy to think of them as bad, or it's easier to say, oh, he's a bad, but 9 times out of 10, they're not. They yeah. don't know, just like us.
Exactly. Ignorance is just ignorance, you know. They yep.
It's real expensive.
Well, knowledge is a powerful thing. Knowledge is kept by the powerful and important. They keep a lot of knowledge from us, and mm-hmm. there's a good reason why.
Well, you see, that's the beauty of what we're doing. We're sharing the knowledge that they have been keeping from us.
Hiding
and the knowledge is simple. Everybody thinks it's some great big super duper secret that they have. It's not. It's the simple stuff.
Yes.
That's what they've hidden from us. The
yes.
simple.
It's kind of funny. I know this is a little bit different rabbit I'm going to chase here, but the guest I had earlier on the earlier show, we talked about knowledge a little bit here and there, but you know, the police and the military over here, they are kept from a lot of knowledge, and they are fed a lot of propaganda.
Of course,
they are told that they are given this power, the little shiny badge and the nice shiny blue suit or black, wherever it happens to be, you know, if they're militarizing them. But they're told that they have this power. And
yeah, they're actually told it's not you shooting dead the perp. It's the law shooting them.
Yes, exactly.
So that they don't feel it's their own action.
Yeah. I heard you say on this one pod I keep listening over and over to on the 28th of December, the show you did. You said in that show one time, you said, if you can be ordered to do something against your will, or if you can be ordered to do something that you know is wrong, then you are the problem,
yep.
not the person who orders you.
Correct.
Yeah. And, you know, that's just so resonating. Just so many people don't look at that. And you also talk about your mind's eye, your, pineal gland, your third eye. People don't really look.
I don't think of it as the third eye. I keep hearing people refer to it as the third eye.
The mind's eye.
It's not. It's the eye.
The eye, yes.
It's your singular eye.
Yes.
It's your mind's eye. I don't think of it as the third eye.
Yeah.
It's your actual eye.
Yeah. And if people can't really see what they're doing, like in the police or the military, you know, they are brainwashed into thinking that they have some kind of a power. They put on this nice shiny suit.
Generally. And for example, let's say you see a story. Oh, look, good news story. A cop bought a homeless guy a burger that was caught on camera. Isn't he wonderful?
Yeah.
They get lavish amounts of praise hoisted upon them for doing something at what we call a basic human level.
Yeah.
As if it's something special. It's not special. We're not supposed to walk past hungry people.
Yeah.
You know, who thinks it's okay to walk past people who are
hungry? Yeah.
That ain't right.
Yeah.
We're never supposed to do that. Ever.
Yeah. No, we certainly aren't.
And, you know, I mean, that's not what I'm trying to knock the fact that they're, you know, they've an altruistic side. But they make a big deal out of it in the media. But at the same time, they do that for their purposes, not because they saw the cop was a good guy. That's propaganda when they do it.
Certainly. I think.
It's just because they also ignore the fact that, well, 8,500 other fucking cops that year shot and killed people, stolen dead.
Yeah.
That doesn't get mentioned.
No.
And the fact that they may have been homeless, intellectually deficient, you know, living in poverty conditions in
yeah.
ghettos.
Yeah.
Oh no, they're perpetrators of serious crime.
Yeah, I've actually caught some articles or some pictures, I think, going around Facebook that there's some places over there that are building kind of like anti-homeless sleeping areas. They build up these almost like spikes coming out of the ground with I think they build them with concrete or something, but they're trying to keep people from sleeping in the alleys, underneath, I mean, whatever. You know, I've said it many times on some of the shows, Vin. We've got, like, over here in America, we have, like, I think the numbers are 4.5 million homeless people. And there are, like, nearly 18 million vacant homes. So there's, like, well over three homes for every one vacant person here in America.
Sorry, Stephen, are you back?
Yes.
Sorry, I totally lost you there because my computer is gone. It's a bit, I think it's actually about to overheat. I didn't hear one word.
Well, there's the a bit of an echo there.
Shut down on the computer.
That's all right. There's a bit of an echo, but.
Hang on.
Well.
Let's give it. Has it gone?
A tiny bit there, but it's not bad. I can deal with it. I believe there's like 4.5 million homeless people here in America, Van, and I believe there's like.
What?
Yes.
The population of Ireland is literally homeless in America.
Yeah. But there are 18 million vacant homes here in America. So there are like three vacant homes for every one homeless person.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That's just crazy.
It is. And we claim...
Even if you look at the so-called military budget, they could afford to drop maybe... I mean, why are they dropping money bombs on them? It'd be cheaper. No one would get killed and they'd be making friends everywhere they went.
Yeah. Well, I've heard, I don't know if it's true or not, because, you know, it would take a lot of research to actually verify it, but I think somewhere in the vicinity of $30 billion would feed the world. Nobody would be hungry. The entire world. I mean, that's just.
Well, you see, I don't put it in those terms because I say, nope, the food is already there to feed them. Somebody is deciding that those people cannot have food. Somebody is making that decision because the money doesn't feed people, right? Let's face it.
That's right.
Somebody, somewhere, has made a decision that those people are marked for death.
Yep.
That is the way it's operating. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
And as I say, I mean, if you look at what's happening in Palestine.
Oh, certainly.
Those people have been marked for death.
Yep. That's it.
And, I mean, you know, I know they retaliate every now and again. They probably shouldn't. But their so-called retaliations are ineffective anyway, I think 99.9% of the time. But once they retaliate at all, they get absolutely hammered. And it begs the question, is somebody infiltrating them and convincing them to retaliate against their own best interest? Because if they weren't retaliating, somebody would go in there and make it look like they were retaliating. Because those people are marked for death. They're marked for eradication. That's a genocide that's happening.
It is, yeah. But that's all part of the agenda.
Yeah. We can change all that, Stephen. I mean, when I say that, people have often said, what do you mean we can change? We can't change that, Fiona. No, yes, we can.
Certainly.
We're here.
Yep.
No one else is here. Only we can change it. You have to know that you can.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this all boils down to what I want to do. I just want to make up a simple flyer and pass them out, you know?
Well, instead of passing them out yourself, look, hey, find a kid in a bike here.
Yeah.
Want to earn yourself 50 quid? Well, actually, be careful about that now. That could cause more problems.
Some kid I know, anyways.
I changed my mind. Don't say that. Don't funny. Ask a mother, hey, do you want your child to earn 50 quid delivering a few flyers?
Yeah.
And then, when do you want them to deliver the flyers? Say, well, when me and you were out on Friday night having a few drinks and dinner, he can do it then.
Yeah.
See how I just brought that all in there? We just got it all hooked up together.
There's real estate signs and like every other third or fourth house when you go down all the streets in my area. You can't hardly go five houses without having a real estate sign in front of it.
Well, in Ireland at one stage when the so-called Celtic Tiger was here in full roar, you know, it wouldn't be unusual to see a property with five or six different for sale signs on it, as in for five or six different companies.
Really?
And every second or third house on some streets was plastered into things. It was mental at one stage. Somebody was cutting down a bloody rainforest to provide a signage, I'm sure. Because, and now, of course, nothing.
Huh.
There's almost no, property offices were all over the place. Now there's like one in every second town, whereas there used to be five and six of them on the main street.
Uh huh.
estate agents, we call them. What do you call them? Auctioneers or something, isn't it?
Auctioneers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We had like, there was millions of them. Like vultures. And, of course, they're all smiling and everybody thought, hey, this is marvelous.
Yeah.
My home was only 100,000. Now it's worth 200,000. Now it's worth 300,000. And yeah. I'd be telling people, no, now you have to pay 300,000 for a house you could have bought last year for 100,000.
Yeah.
You've just lost 200,000. And they tilt their head and go, huh? never mind. Where do you want me to fit this floor?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, if people could actually slow down enough to look at things, you know, whether it's their mortgage or whether it's at $25,000-$30,000 car out there that they have a lease on that they really don't need.
10 years ago, Stephen, I was telling everybody I knew, do you have credit cards? Yeah, cut them up. Do you have debt? Get rid of it.
Yeah.
Sell it.
Yeah. I actually haven't had a credit card in about 11 years myself, so.
I've never, ever owned a credit card.
Yeah.
And I don't want one.
This is a kicker. I had a credit card one time, and this was actually when I was working. I still had that job. You know, I got a little bit behind on it. I wasn't terribly behind, but I wasn't up to date with it. I was living off paycheck to paycheck. With the mortgage and the truck payment and this, that, and the other. And, but I finally paid off the credit card and, I went to use it again and it wasn't any good. So I went to the bank and, I said, what's going on here? I paid this credit card off. And they said, well, you need to apply for a new card. So I never applied. I thought, okay. I mean, I was in good standing when I owed them all kinds of money, but then I pay it off and I've got to beg for a new card. I said, forget that.
Yeah. No, that's the way they operate.
I haven't had one since, 2004, 2005, somewhere in there. So.
No, they're absolutely ruthless.
Yeah. And the things I've learned from talking to, Mike Montagna and listening to some of his shows and stuff like that. I've actually had one show with him, kind of a marathon, but, you know, you pick up things. And I'll go ahead and check out what you just sent me there, if you want to say something there.
Oh, yeah, well, that's, that's just between me and you.
Okay.
I let's just say I have a little something on my back captivating my attention right now. It's actually quite sore.
Oh, goodness.
You can probably see it there, can you?
Yeah, I got to go to this link.
Hmm.
Now, there's something that I have to go into Skype and log in to see what...
Yeah, that's the new Skype, you see.
Yeah, what is up with that?
That's Microsoft. They want to examine every image before you get to see it.
Ah.
Actually, fact that, yeah, well, you know, I'm going to start using a different service. I'm going to start using AirBridge or something instead of Skype for sending files. I just don't like that idea.
Yeah. Oh, me and my guest talked about this earlier, too, Vin. There's something happened with Facebook here lately, especially on my mobile. I will hit the little Facebook icon on my smartphone, and it will be kind of fuzzy for about 2 seconds, and then it will finally come in. You heard anything about that?
Yeah, that's downloading all your files up to the or uploading all your files from all your different software installs to Facebook. All your number, all your private information is basically just being ravaged from your phone.
Yeah.
If it was happening to you physically, you'd call it rape.
Well, my guest told me earlier that, name?
What do they call it on Facebook? You're being fraped.
Yeah. Yeah. He said that the NSA has created, like a ghost server, and they've been just downloading every single thing that they've been, Yeah,
yep.
Everything. I mean, you know, years and years ago, like back in the 70s, the NSA and the CIA, they actually had to go get warrants for wiretaps and stuff like that.
You know what? I don't think they did. I think they used to put that out in the public to make people think they did.
Well, yeah, I mean, allegedly they did. Let's put it that way. But now, you know, they didn't even have to do that anymore. They just go to your Facebook profile and or your Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever, and they just they know what we're doing now. They don't even need to.
Well, I mean, I have to be honest. I mean, in many regards, that stuff does not concern me because I'm not putting out anything I need to worry about, even private, you know, for people to find out. So, I mean, the way I see it, well, if I'm not worried about anybody finding out, I don't care if they find out either.
Yeah.
That's it. I just don't like the idea of it. But I don't care about it in the sense of, I mean, for all I know, they have cameras in me toothbrush. Like, feckin', what was the movie? The chap in the dome.
The dome.
Remember, he lived in a dome and everything was there. There's something,
Oh, wow. I could see that photo now. That looks like you've been bit by a spider or something. No.
It's an old stone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, a long time ago, I got a stone. Well, I got a heap of them, and they missed one. I'm not there, but it's captivating my attention right now, I can tell you.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, I say it's a little bit tender. But what was the movie called?
Lived in a Dome, huh?
Yeah, he lived in the somebody remembered in the chat book. The Truman Show. Thank you, Kieran.
Oh, okay, man. Okay.
Thank you. Actually, yeah, I haven't seen Kieran in ages. How are you doing, Kieran? Get your ass up to the next meetup. He's a good lad, Kieran. Truman Show, yeah. But, I mean, as I said, I mean, you know, yes, it's a violation, but it's one that doesn't concern me too much in the sense that I thought, well, maybe, just maybe the people listening, they might actually learn something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Maybe. And, I mean, I don't mean that from an egotistical perspective.
No,
because the information I'm sharing, it's not my information.
Yeah.
I didn't create it.
That's right. That's right.
But I've come across this information and I found it so invaluable.
Yeah.
I'm compelled to be on here doing what I'm doing. I mean, it's a compulsion.
It is. It is.
I mean, if I thought, well, look, I mean, half the planet know this. I thought, well, and if I found out about that, well, half the planet know it. So that's cool. I wouldn't have to be doing what I'm doing.
That's right.
But when I discovered and realized almost nobody that I knew it, I thought, well,
yeah,
shouldn't somebody get on here and talk about this to people? So I did.
Yeah, you know, it depends on what your mentality is, how honorable you are. If you see something, you either have to do something about it or you have to turn a blind eye to it.
Well, it's walking past a man drowning in the lake.
Yes.
I can't, you know, even if everybody else is walking past, I can't. I'm the guy who's going to stop and go,
Jesus.
That was like a guy drowning in the fucking lake.
He's drowning in the lake, yeah.
Yeah, I'm already on the way in.
Yeah, yeah.
That's me.
You know, I've thought about
it
this way.
In fact, all the guys on the site are like that. That's what I love about the guys on the site and the gals, of course, is that's what they're like. They're the type of people that if they see somebody in trouble, they're already on their way to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're kind of wondering why nobody else is going in to help this guy or gal. What the heck? You know, what the hell is wrong with you people?
Exactly. You know, people a lot of times they'll say like, why isn't somebody doing something about this? Why isn't somebody saying something about this? Well, you know, I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, well, maybe I'm that somebody that's going to have to do something. Maybe
I mean, look, we have it all the time here. It's like guys would send me a message, say, hey, Vin, somebody should do X, Y, Z. I said, that's a brilliant idea. When are you going to do it?
Yeah.
No, you misunderstood. I meant somebody should. I go, yeah.
You're somebody.
You mean I should? Yeah, you should, Vin. I'm already. You're more than welcome to come and spend a whole day with me or a week with me and see exactly what it is I do all day. And if you think you can squeeze a bit more time out of me where I can do that, hey, you tell me where when I can do it and I'll do it.
You mean you don't just sit there and twiddle your thumbs, Vin?
That's what we do. We always sit here all day with twiddling thumbs and, you know, just chillaxing.
Chillaxing.
That's a new word my young son taught me today. It's chillax. Okay.
That's a good one there. But no, I was one of those people that, you know, I had to look at myself in the mirror and I said, well, I can't unknow something. I can't unsee something. I had to be one of those people that was going to have to be the one that had to do something.
Yeah. I mean, it's the old saying, isn't it? It's somebody should do something. And then, of course, you realize, well, I'm somebody.
That's right.
And you see, I think many of us never even had that thought about somebody should do so. See, I actually never looked at a situation or an issue and thought somebody should do something. Anytime I ever looked at an issue or a situation, I thought, I can do such and such a thing about that.
Yeah.
I never even, you see, and that's partly, I think, to do with the way, and it's not people's faults. I mean, it's not, because that's what the school system and the job system does to you. Everything is always put upstairs to authority. Oh, there's a problem with the production line. I better ask the boss. Oh, there's a problem with this. I better ask the boss. So there's whereas being employed by self, all problems were my problems.
Yep.
So there was nobody to ask. I just had to go, uh-oh, I need to fix that.
Just had to figure it out yourself, yeah.
And that's why they don't want self-employed. I mean, I know that I know you hear the all the politicians say how much they love entrepreneurs. They absolutely despise and hate entrepreneurial people. They despise them.
Do you know what they hate? They actually hate somebody that can think for themselves.
Well, that's why, because that to be an entrepreneur or self-employed or employed by self, as I say, you have to be a problem solver, because every problem is your problem.
That's right.
There's no, because there is nobody to call. You can't go, hey, call.
Call my ex-boss.
Every problem is your problem.
Yeah, yeah.
End of. And I mean, until you've been in that situation, you know, a lot of people think, well, that can't be that big a deal, Vin, you know. Well, I had a situation once where it was a Friday night. And a few of the lads that were working with me said, hey, Vin, we want to go to the pub early, some football match or other. And they knew I didn't give a damn about the football. So I said, yeah, okay, lads, off you go. And they were in a pub just around the corner from me. I actually paid them early. I said, here, there you go. There's your few bob. And off they went. And will you be all right, Vin? Yeah, I'll be grand. So I was putting 8-foot by 4-foot sheets of like veneered ply, polished veneered ply up on the battens in a hotel. And I was standing on a stepladder. And health and safety wasn't a big issue back in the day. And I was using an electric drill with a posi drive bit, like what you'd call a Phillips head bit in it. And that's what I was using to screw the panels to the wall.
Right.
The holes of it, that was a special strip that covered the holes afterwards. But I was standing on a ladder about 6 foot up in the air. So I'm 6 foot. So about 12 foot up. My head is about 12 foot high. I'm holding on to the plywood sheet, pushing it onto the batten. It was curved slightly, so I had to push it in the middle with one finger behind the board in between that and the batten, trying to line it up. And the phone rang. So I put the phone up to my ear, and then I'm standing with 2 feet on top of this ladder. And without thinking about it, I put a screw in the hole, and I pulled the trigger on the drill, which just went full speed, and I went straight through the timber, straight through my finger, and straight into the wooden batten.
And I got
to So I'd managed to screw myself to the wall.
I got
to
tell everybody, I was in the building trades business myself, and I was also in factories where we built RVs. If you take a screw and drive it into your foot or your hand or something like that, it's not like a nail. You actually have to back that drill backwards.
Oh, it gets better. It gets better. Because I was on a step ladder, I drilled straight through my finger with the screw, and I dropped the fucking drill. And there was nobody else there. I was the last man there, and I knew there was going to be nobody there till Monday morning. And inside my inside pocket on my dungarees, I happened to have, you know, one of them little itty bitty stubby screwdrivers.
Sure. Yeah.
I cried like a child. It took me about an hour to unscrew that thing from my finger. And then I fell off the ladder and hit the ground. Right. And of course, all the while, feeling like the world's biggest moron. And it left, I mean, it's a microscopic scar. But that was one of the most painful things I think I've ever done.
Oh, I'm sure.
And I've done some pretty fun, you know, pretty stupid things.
Yeah.
But the realization, when I realized, I think it was actually the worst realization was as I could feel the drill slipping from my hands, because the drill had a reverse function and I would have zipped that straight back out in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah.
It would work. But, I think the idea when I dropped the drill and I realized I could be literally stuck here till Monday morning, standing on the top of a ladder.
Yeah.
Looking like the world's greatest moron screwed to a wall. And I'm not sure which was worse, the idea of that or the actual pain.
Oh, goodness.
It was incredible, the stupid things we do, though.
Yeah.
But as I said, when you're self-employed, and I dropped the phone as well, by the way. The phone fell. So I couldn't even call out nobody.
Couldn't even call one of the lads.
No, couldn't call nobody. And I actually had a tape measure in my pocket. And I fed the tape measure down. I was trying to hook up the phone, and I had a magnet on the end of it. But the phone, of course, was non-magnetic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. Had to unscrew it.
But I wanted to go back just a few minutes there. I think I figured out a while back that one of the reasons why they are looking for people that are not very smart in the military and the police or the Garda over there, they don't want somebody that can take control of a situation like the police and the military can. They don't want them listening to their victims or their people that arresting.
I'm going to tell you something, Stephen. See, if I was a megalomaniac hell-bent on controlling all the population of the earth, first thing I'd do would be hire some extremely loyal morons.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they're doing. They're hiring loyal morons.
Yeah. Coming right out of the military.
The police forces are starting to scratch their heads, even the old guys.
Yes, they are.
They're thinking, what the hell is going on?
Yes, they are.
These new recruits are imbeciles.
Yep.
And they go, you know what? Hey, can I get early retirement? Yeah, get me the hell out of here. These guys are morons.
Yeah.
Because they don't even feel safe going on patrol with them.
No, they don't.
Because they think these guys are morons. Everything they do is they kick the door in, bang, 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 bang. Empty the clip. Nobody move. This is the police.
Dell said worse than childbirth, man.
No, I don't think that was worse. I don't think that was worse. Getting scalded was worse. That was worse.
Yeah.
I lost all my skin from my waist to my knees. That was worse.
Oh, goodness.
Mm-hmm. I was scalded, you know, burnt off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they don't want somebody that's in the police listening to whoever they're arresting because they
don't want them listening to that. No, if they could play music, if they could have earbuds playing music in their head all day long, they'd be happy to do it.
Yeah. They don't want them hearing the truth.
They yet do it.
They don't want them to hear the truth, and they don't want them to recognize the truth.
No, but I mean, if they could put earbuds in their ear, so that as the whoever is talking, and they would say, okay, we'll only let the cop listen to this bit, that bit, and that bit,
yep,
and just blank out all the rest. They may well do it eventually.
Sure.
One controller will control, you know, 15 cops or something like that. Well, I mean, I probably shouldn't be giving them bloody ideas.
No, they've already had all these
Do you know I've had it confirmed? I was on here, I don't know if you remember, a good while ago, laughing and joking on here, saying, look, they're going to bring out bicycle licenses and you have to have tax and insurance and all driving licenses for your bicycle and all of this jazz. And they're going to have cycle cops on cycle cop lanes. Ta-da! They've got it done, folks. I mean, I put it out there acting the maggot saying, oh, they're going, and ta-da, they've done it. So I should probably stop giving them ideas.
Well,
I'm not saying they adopted my idea. Maybe they'd always planned it, but, you know, hey.
Well, they don't even need to, you know, try to control somebody that's come out of the military. They're just more or less brainwashed. They just do what they're told anyways, so.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, look, as I say, you want to take over somewhere? Well, you want a load of idiots who'll just follow instructions.
Yeah, exactly.
Happy days. I mean, if I'm a despot, that's what I don't want, intelligent people in there questioning my orders.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I don't want that. I just want to, look, I told you to go shoot them. Go shoot them.
Yeah. I told you to go beat their heads in. Go beat their heads in.
Why are you still here?
Why aren't they on the ground bleeding? Yeah.
Yeah. Why aren't they buried?
Yeah.
What's the problem? Have you no diesel for the excavator or something? What's the wrong?
Goodness.
But, that's why they dress them up in personhood. Don't think of them as people. They're insurgents. They're, you know, collateral damage.
Yes. They're terrorists.
They're inhuman.
They're terrorists.
Terrorists. Terrorists, yeah.
They put a label on them, and they put a label on us, and they stigmatize us, and they're going to disassociate. Actually, I think over here in America, my guest told me today that there are like 7 states that are training for martial law. They're training for the collapse.
There isn't going to be a collapse, Steve.
No.
Nope. It's not a collapse. It's a seizure of control. It's a coup d'état.
Yeah.
It's not a collapse. It would be a collapse if it happened accidentally and now everybody looked around one day and went, wow, a collapse. Who knew? Where the hell did that come from?
Yeah.
That's a collapse.
Nobody
when
told
it's
us.
Planned, it's a coup d'état.
Yes.
It's a coup d'état. It's been planned.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not a collapse. I mean, bridges collapse. If it turns out somebody was loosening the nuts on the bridge, that's a crime.
Yeah.
You go, look, who the heck loosened the nuts on the bridge?
Right? Yep.
That's not look, the bridge collapsed when we loosened the nuts. You know, come on.
That's
like, no, she didn't die in the car crash because the brakes failed, even though I did cut the pipes, you know.
Yeah, right.
Little logic and reason here, folks, you know.
Yeah, no,
you got to stop calling it a collapse. I mean, I hear guys doing it all the time. So it's not a collapse if it's planned.
Coup d'etat, that's right.
That's why the Twin Towers people say, oh, they collapsed. No, they didn't collapse.
They were brought down.
It wasn't a collapse. I know what buildings look like when they collapse. I'm a builder and I can think.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't need anybody to tell me there was some conspiracy of this, that, and the other. I, on the day of September 11th, I was looking at what was happening on the television, live, apparently.
I said, well, that's a lot of crap there, isn't it?
Did the building go down? And, I mean, before it was even five floors crashed, I went.
That's a lot of crap, isn't it?
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That shouldn't be that way.
That's not right.
That's not right, yeah.
Straight away, I knew that's not right. Because, I knew how that building was built years ago. I had a book on different buildings around the world, and that was in it. And I looked it up and ran. I thought it was interesting and fascinating, and I was interested in the dynamics of buildings and all this type of stuff. And I knew that building was steel. I mean, people saw the glass on the outside. They don't realize that whole building was steel. The whole building was steel.
It was.
And the concrete floors, the floors were concrete, but most of the concrete floors, believe it or not, they were mostly steel too.
Yeah. And
that's what rebar for steel is. It's like, no, it's absolutely impossible for that thing to come down. Impossible.
Allegedly, a aluminum airplane took it down too, two aluminum airplanes.
That's like taking, a can of Coke. Uh-huh. And even if you shoot it at 400 miles an hour at something steel, it still ain't penetrating.
No, it's not.
Now, I mean, the engines would have had a chance of penetration, but not the air. The aircraft itself would have bent the steel in and would have, because of the mass and inertia, et cetera, it would have went in. But, and then the explosion would have blasted it apart.
Yeah.
Still wouldn't have melted it.
Yeah.
And look, if you have a computer, right?
Yes.
Your computer has an i7 4-core processor on it, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Right. And on top of that is an aluminium, more than likely, aluminium
case.
Cooling, a heatsink.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Now, that heatsink probably has a fan on it as well to pull away the warm air.
Yes.
And that's why your computer chip doesn't fry.
Yep. I've got three fans on mine.
If you take the twin towers and you look at the amount of steel in the floors, where the plane crashed in, and you work out the amount of fuel and the amount of heat it produced and then how quickly it burned away, that heat could not have penetrated all of that concrete to affect those beams or the concrete in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you have a steel bar and I start at one end with a blowtorch, and I start heating that one end with a blowtorch, I will actually melt that end of the bar with a blowtorch before you even feel the heat.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you're talking to twin towers, I mean, I'd have that other end, 20 feet of it, red hot before you even noticed it was warm, your end.
Yeah.
It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible.
Well,
and you see, if I attach that steel beam to a million other steel beams, they keep pulling away all the heat. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Absolutely impossible.
The way I understand it, the science that I understand it, it was the instantaneous burst was 1800 degrees of jet fuel. Instantaneous. But then after that, the fire was like
I'm telling you here now, it wouldn't matter if it was 22,000 degrees.
No,
that
it
building
sure would.
Wouldn't.
It sure wouldn't.
Because the rest of the building was unaffected completely.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Absolutely. But as I said, I mean, I was looking at it live on television on the day, and I was thinking, that's impossible. Absolutely impossible.
Well, we've been joined by someone else, Ben.
Oh, excellent.
I'm not sure who this is. Maybe you know who it is. You got to turn your radio down there.
Hello. Hello. Sorry about that.
Bryzer. How are you, Bryzer?
How are you, Ben? How are you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Good show tonight. Very good.
Thank you very much.
Get Mr. X. Get on that official offer. It'll change his life for the better.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you saw what he put up in the chat room or in the forum. He'd added all sorts of bells and whistles to the thing.
Oh, you were talking about it. I didn't actually see it, but you were talking. I think, no, don't deviate.
Yeah, no, it's that's what he, but gee, I wanted him to try to understand why not to deviate, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I understand. I mean, it is a reasonable thing, Bryzer, to say, well, you know, don't go with the template idea because templates have been ripped apart down through the years, which is fair enough. But it's not a template as such, is it? I mean, it's the minimum amount of words used to describe your intention.
Exactly. You're just putting it down there and saying, this is what I'm doing, here you go.
Yeah.
And no template required. It's just simple, straightforward, no problems.
Yeah.
Send it off and keep doing it. And if you have to be pulled into a court, just stand your ground and say, I'm paying. I'm not in default.
Yeah. Did you listen to the audio of Ray Hall in court?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of that?
Ray, if you're still listening, I'll say to you, it's fair play to you, man. That was brilliant.
He was dynamite. Loved the Ray.
He was thinking about it, and then he eventually did it, and then went into court. And not only did he bring up the official offer, he brought up the Constitution, and he was going for it, big time.
Oh, he was like a man possessed that day. He was
and then when he came, you could see him, he was trembling, not with fear or anything, trembling with pure, like, adrenaline was pumping through him.
Oh, he was, and, let me at him, anticipation, I think, yeah.
He was like, I did it. I went in there and I fucking did it.
It's Avin.
Stood up to them. And that is a big, big thing to be to stand up to this so-called authority and to know that you're the man here. You're the man in charge here.
So-called authority.
It's a fantastic feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
Bryzer, Vin, I was helping a woman.
Thanks for inviting me on. I see you've grown a beard since I saw you last.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I was helping a woman on the other side of the country, Vin. She was, I had helped her with the official offer, you know, but she was like 2,400 miles away from me. I mean, I couldn't just hop in my car and go over there, but she sent as much as she could in a check twice. And they sent the check back to her, and they kept telling her that they couldn't accept it. And I said, well, yeah, they're going to say that they couldn't accept it, but just keep sending it back and keep sending them the letter.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever send the official offer back? They generally don't.
No, just a check with a letter of their own.
There you go. You see that they know. Then they
promissory note. Then this is what exactly. It's a promissory note.
Yeah,
that's that. They know that's the only valuable thing between you and them is that official offer. That's the only connection. Once you send that, every other contract is gone. That's the only connection they have to you. That's why they don't send it back.
Yeah. Can I ask you, Vin, on this one, right? If you're on your deathbed and you're doing the official offer, right, and you still owe them whatever, okay, you can pass the promissory note on to your next of kin, can't you?
Absolutely.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And just keep it going.
Yep.
It's like the mother on the on the deathbed. Will you look after the family, son? I promise. You know.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you, the proof of that pudding is, in France, they've been doing it for donkey's years in France. The French people, I was amazed. I knew people in France, and they all had these big, I'm going to call them mansions, in the country. And I used to think, how the hell are they affording these things? Yeah. And what had happened was the great-grandfather had bought the thing, and they kept passing on the mortgage payments down through the family.
Yeah, keeps going.
But when they bought it, it was like he was buying it. Let's say he'd buy his house, his standard house or whatever, for like, you know, a 30-year mortgage. But the property that was going to be the family country home, villa, whatever you want to call it, that would be bought on a 150-year mortgage.
Hmm.
And it just kept getting passed down from generation to generation.
Yeah. So you just write a new offer to them all the time, a new promissory note. So the next of kin, if they take them, you know, they just do another promissory note and keep it going.
Exactly. Yeah. No.
Because I remember there was the guy in Galway then, you know, where he owed millions of things to the bank. And he was ordered to pay the price of a pint back.
That's right. That's right. That was in the papers.
It's going to take him 465
years. Actually, I meant to put that on the site.
Yeah. It's going to take him 465 years to do it. So there's no way he's going to be around in 465 years. So it just keeps going.
That's why, Bryzer, I can't understand why the people who are attempting to knock this process, I mean, it's all over the place. Why are they trying to knock it? I don't get it.
Well, there's, we're trying to sell some remedies here, Vin, you know. It's not good for business.
Yeah.
You know?
Speaking of my beard, Bryzer, it's gotten really, really thick. I don't know if you can see my video.
See you there.
Wow. I'm going to say something, but I'm going to change it to Holy Grizzly Adams.
That's a Grizzly Adams, yeah.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Except his wasn't gray.
Hey, well, Stephen, how much do you want for the beard? Because I'll stick that in the old noggin.
I'll send it to you for free.
I'd love to see you being with a beard like that and a bald head.
Yeah, how the hell did you get away with it, Bryzer? You grey hair.
No, grey hair, yeah.
No, but and great
I grew
hair.
A beard, right? I grew a beard.
As you have hair, though. You know, you have hair.
I have hair, yeah. Still there.
Mm.
I remember back in the 90s, I had a beard and I looked the image of Jerry Adams.
Who's Jerry Adams?
Jerry Adams, leader of the so-called Sinn Féin.
Oh, okay.
The party here. Mm-hmm. And they're no more Republican or nationalist. They're just controlled opposition, you know. They sold out.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I mean, look, I know politics is bad in every country, but in Ireland, it's particularly bad.
It is bad here, isn't it? There's no, it's just a kind of slagging match, you know, there's no.
That's all.
What
makes it worse, Ben?
It's not even sophisticated.
No, it's like school children bickering over. No.
Well, they are practically have been doing that here for years in front of the cameras. But
but here it's in your face. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think it's all just a theater, a play, a show?
I think there's this attitude of the thick Irish, you know, the stupid Irish, like they'll just accept anything.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's that attitude, you know. The cute whore, oh, here's a few quid and I sort you out kind of thing, you know, wink, wink.
Well, have you noticed, Bryser, that we used to get news that the Minister for Justice is going to do this, the Minister for Justice is going to do that, or the Minister for Agriculture is going to do this or that, and it's changed to the Minister for Justice said this and the Minister for Agriculture said that.
It's changed.
We don't get to be told what they're doing anymore. It's just what they're saying. We're slowly turning into the American style news.
Yeah, and it's experts have decided that the government should do this.
The repeaters. The repeaters.
Unelected, no name experts.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who are being paid a lot of money to tell us how we should live. They're shaping society. They're like totally remodeling society as they see fit.
And you and I both know. For them to sell that to the governments, they go into the government and say, listen, do what I say. I'm an expert in psychology and all of these things. You do what I say. You'll get re-elected, I'll get me check paid, and you'll have more control of the people every time.
It's called cultural Marxism, Vin.
They have multiple PhDs advising them.
It is. It's an attack on the family. It's an attack on the country, the nation. You know, it's an attack on your spirit. It's an attack on everything.
Coup d'etat. It's a secret coup d'etat.
Yeah. So it's. But we have to do our bit and stand up and.
Say, Bryser, remind me, I didn't have to accept your Skype contact. I had you as a contact. Were you on one other time? Or
I was on TNS Radio. I think you would probably join.
I had just joined TNS, yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Just before it went down.
Yeah, and I just kind of left for a bit, but, you know, I won't go into that really, but I left for my own reasons and... But, you know, it's funny, we come back around, we go around in circles again, you know, and here we are back again.
Yes, we do, yeah.
And,
well, believe it or not, actually.
And one thing I have to say, you know, I really enjoyed myself on TNS Radio. I love doing the shows and everything. I interviewed some amazing people. And,
believe it or not, Bryser, I was looking for your interview at Lied Pie. And I found it.
Right.
That was an incredible interview.
There were some good ones, you know, and I was just like, you know, I did that myself. You know, I'd never done radio before, and to get out there and talk to people all over the world, it's a building block, you know. It strengthens you, you know, gives you energy to go, this is great.
Say, Bryser.
Well, we'd all love to have you back on, Bryser.
Yeah. Del raises an interesting question. Is there any hope?
Oh,
sorry,
of course. What?
Of course, there's always
hope. Is that what you said, Stephen? Is there any hope?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
I don't like that word hope. You know, hope I can win the lotto. Doesn't normally happen, does it?
I still hope I do. I actually hope I win the lotto and I don't even buy tickets.
You have to go out there and do it.
Yeah.
You just have to go out there and do it. You know, I'm involved with the anti-local water charges group here. And I tell you guys, these people are pretty well clued in. They might know as much as we know, because we've been at this for a few years, right? They were kind of waking up in the last year or so. And I was like taken aback, and I thought, wow. They know about the whole fluoride issue, you know, GMOs, vaccines, the whole banking system, 9/11, you name it. I don't know, wow.
Well, it's brilliant. I mean, I often felt like sending a thank you letter to Irish Water and the dumb politicians who tried to inflict that upon people, saying thank you.
They did. They woke people up.
Yeah, we were struggling for some time there.
A year or two ago, I was thinking...
Bring in a face tax next, if you don't mind. Yeah, bring in a face tax, maybe just to speed up the process.
Yeah, I thought we were gone. I really didn't think. When I went out there and I just saw all these people just didn't give a shit, you know? And what do we have to do here? And But something like the water protest, right? It's a small thing in the bigger scheme of everything that's going on. But it was a spark, wasn't it? Just
They lit the touch paper.
They did. Now you can see what's happening because there's, you know, the socialists are getting in there. You know, we are in a socialist republic. We wouldn't have this, you know.
Nonsense. You're living in, they have a socialist republic. You're living in a socialist republic. That's the problem.
But we're going to make it even a more socialist republic. In fact, we're probably infiltrated and we will bring in, you know, the final 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto.
That's what they're after.
Yeah.
And I've done my research on that, Breiser. I mean, the people who designed and developed and wrote and created the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, not one of them was a worker. Not one of them knew what it was like to have to put their shoulder to the wheel.
No, they were all from well-off families. You know?
They were social engineers, yeah. They were basically herd maintenance specialists.
Yeah. And that's what we have now. We have cultural Marxism. This is the whole Marxist thing. And they didn't have this in Soviet Russia, you know. Mm-mm. Because, like, you know, Vin, I was in my parents' house today, you know, for Easter and whatever, not religious in any way, but it's a nice family thing, you know.
Yep.
I was reading the newspapers, and this whole referendum that's coming up, this same-sex marriages thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I was astounded at what's in the papers. I was just gobsmacked. It's treating us as if we're...
Give us a for example.
We wouldn't be a proper republic. To have a true republic, we need this diversity and we need this multiculturalism and we need this gay agenda to be a true republic.
Of course, yeah. See, that's what they're doing there. Playing on the fact that 1916 anniversary is coming up and they're trying to,
a lot of that too and a lot of lies and nonsense. And I was just, it was a Sunday Independent, Vin, as you know, it's a Dennis O'Brien rag.
Sure. Why did you even read it, Breiser?
I don't read it, you know what I mean? But to read the paper, and I was just like, oh my God. And people are buying this and reading this.
Yeah. And absorbing.
And the propaganda was just...
What's even worse is, back in the day, you know, you'd go to work Monday morning, or you'd be on the job, and you'd hear people talking about it. And then there was always some guy who'd come in, well, ever so as a matter of factly, as if it was his own opinion, and he'd regurgitate what was written in the newspaper with great authority.
Yeah.
As if, you see, I'm informed. And I'm like, wow.
He's an expert, Finn. He's an expert.
Yeah. Okay. And that was just like, no, you just sucked in all the propaganda and you're regurgitating and you just bought the whole thing, hook, line, and sinker. Mm. But he thinks he's an expert and he's, you know, no, you're uninformed. I'm informed. I read the Times, you know.
Yeah. We've had 800 years of oppression in this country, and it's carrying on. It hasn't stopped.
Nope.
And we've been targeted.
Absolutely.
Because of who we are. We're rebels. We always have been, but we like to live in peace.
There's just something about the Irish. There's something about Irish people. When you think about it, the Crown went and globe-trotted and installed their phony regimes all over the entire planet and literally took over. And they could never quite get it done with the Irish right next door to them. They could just never manage it. And it's been a thorn in their side. It's been driving them nuts. Yeah. And I think what's driving them even more nuts is that I think they actually realize they're never actually going to achieve it.
Mm. Why did they make Dublin the second capital of the empire?
Exactly.
And you have a temple bar there. You have all that. All the Masonic stuff is all there.
Dublin was designed like an English. In fact, it was the jewel in the crown. Is that what they used to say?
Yeah.
The jewel in the crown of the empire was Dublin.
And then Nelson's Column, you remember, that was all designed Masonically. And then that, obviously, the IRA blew that up, but then they put that spire bloody...
And how come nobody realized they put the spire in the exact same spot? Well, how convenient.
Exact same spot, yeah.
I mean, why didn't they build it in a different spot?
Mm. And it had to be a spire, you know? It could have been something. Could have been
it's
a statue.
See, they have aspirations. It's aspire, you see? They aspire. Yeah. And then they had this competition. Oh, let's everybody come up with a name. They already had it well chosen.
Mm. And I think it was Harry said he was talking to Brian Gerrish was over here a good few years ago. And he said that's a listening post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Harry said he was down
because,
underneath it.
Around the spire, you can actually go down underneath it and it's all computers and every damn thing underneath there.
Mm-hmm. That's Harry's always saying it's a joint antenna like Teletubbies.
Yeah.
Yep.
Teletubbies, though.
Yep.
But I think the great thing is, despite all this nonsense that's going on, you know, things like the official offer and return to sender and stuff like that, you know, it's a start.
Would you say tonight, Bryce, that I was going a little strong by telling people this is 100% good?
No.
Good.
Because it is good. I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done it, so I know. So, you know.
I mean, up to now, I have kind of, once or twice I did kind of say that, you know, but tonight I really wanted to hammer that home tonight that it's absolutely, if done correctly, they can't defeat it. They can't.
They can't do it. So I'm up in court again tomorrow week, or actually next week now, we're into Monday. And I'm going to stick to my guns. Now, I did come across another little bit of information from the Carl Lentz thing, right? Which is very interesting, but I won't go into it now because I just want to get it into my head. And I might run it past you then when I meet you during the week.
I guess we're kind of losing Ben there a little bit. I guess we kind of lost Ben.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, yes, I can.
All right.
Skype, we lost Ben and we're trying to get him back there.
Okay. But yeah, I'm in court again next week.
Are you?
But I have the official offer in place for 3.5 years, and I'm sticking to that. And I'm just going to push for this case to be struck out.
Yeah.
Just leave me alone. That's all I'm asking.
Ah, we have you back, Ben.
Yep, computer's overheating again. I'm not waving my cardboard fast enough. I slowed down. I'll have to speed up. What was I saying? Sorry.
Well,
I was saying that the official offer is literally bulletproof. I believe it's bulletproof, Bryce.
I think so. As I said, I'm going in next Monday for, you know, it's been a journey.
See, I think, you know, I want people to have confidence. I want you to be confident that not only is the process good, but that you're right. I don't want me to be right. I want you to be right.
The thing has been, the first time I went in, I wasn't, you know, I was fairly confident, but I wasn't 100%, you know what I mean?
Understandable.
I'm still worrying. I don't know what this is, how does it go? And I just thought, you know, stick to the official offer. Just stick to it. And I did. And it turned out the way it did.
Yeah.
Now, it was only round one, okay?
Yeah.
But just doing that and seeing the reaction and whatever, that was powerful. That just confirmed to me.
I'll be honest with you. I'd have paid good money to sit and stare at that guy's face when the judge said to him, why is that not in your affidavit? I'd have paid good to see that.
I mean, when I just looked at this and went, I was gobsmacked. I went, oh my. This fucking works. So, and I rattle on a bit and says, you know, I've been performing on this for the last 3.5 years and I can prove it. I had a little file thing here beside me and I said, I have it all here. And then the registrar went into the, tried to give me some advice about going into insolvency and whatever. And he adjourned it. And that was it.
See, why would I want to do that? Why would I want to become insolvent?
Why don't you try this one? Why don't you contract with these guys here?
Yeah. And why don't they just keep accepting my official offer and everything's tickety boo?
So he said, let's give this guy a bit of space. We'll send him down the insolvency route so he can find 6 or 7 years of peace of mind, but then we'll get him.
Yeah. Says so, I'd rather have 25, 30, 40, 50 years of peace of mind. Thanks very much.
Yeah. So I just stick to my own little offer, which I'm in control of.
Yep.
Negotiated the whole thing, so I'm in control. I'm sending them 25 a week now. And,
Ben.
There you go.
Ben,
what more can I do? As you say, Ben, about paying the maximum, if I had it, I would give it.
Yeah.
But I make sure I take care of myself first, because if I've got needs myself, I will take care of those needs.
Breiser said when your Skype went out there, Ben, he's going on 3.5 years.
Exactly. Yeah.
3.5 years.
I mean, look at Mary. She was, inverted commas, Mary. She was 4 years.
Mm. Now, for those 3.5 years, I wasn't paying the maximum. I was only giving them €20 a month.
Mm.
But they accepted it.
Yeah, well, that's how you know. It doesn't matter what it is. Exactly.
So, and to be quite honest with you, Ben, even €20 a month was a struggle. Because I actually felt it when it was taken out of my account, you know. I went, oh shit, 20 gone there, you know.
Yeah, well, you have to make decisions that you probably wouldn't have had to make in the past. You know, yeah. I mean, as you say, Roger, you were in a good pay job, right? Yeah, you had plenty. Yeah. You know, you weren't a hard luck story, right? You at one stage you could just decide, I think I'll go for a pint during the week, and you didn't have to think about it, right?
Oh, well.
And then the thing happened, and now suddenly you're thinking. I mean, I've had it. You know, I wake up in the morning sometimes. I think, Jesus, am I enough to buy a pint of milk?
Yeah. And then, like, from the sender, we've had our people, some people saying that this doesn't work, right? I'm fighting the property tax as well. I've done return to sender on the property tax for all of them.
I keep wondering, why are people attacking that, Bryce, or why are they attacking it? As you say, well, I mean, you said it that they've... I don't think it's a day. I think there's a particular individual out there that's doing it. And I do, I am questioning the motives at this stage because... I know that he's perceived to be part of a group, but I know other people in the group and other people in that group aren't aware of those email content before they get sent out.
Right. But I remember the last letter I got from the Collector General. That's a nice military term, isn't it? General.
I hope you salute when you send that Collector General.
One of these little torches that you can shine on the envelope, you can read through it, and they were threatening to take money from my pension.
Wow.
Now, what I was doing is, I have a private pension, right? And when you, it's a funny thing, I didn't notice when I signed up for it, that they literally employ you. You're like an employee of them.
Yep.
And you pay little tax, you sign up for it, but I didn't sign up for the property tax. And I remember I got a P60 from them. By the way, Stephen, the P60 is like a tax return form. You know, it shows how much you've paid in the year and whatever.
Right.
It's kind of like a 1040 over there, Steve.
Okay. There was zero in that, like a zero. Why? Because I didn't contract. But then they sent me a letter saying they were threatening now to take, I'm getting kind of a stipend on my pension of like 55 euros a month. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which is nothing really. And I will get a lump sum. I can get some of when I'm 55, and then at 60, I'll get the rest. But, you know, I don't know whether that'll be there then. So I'll take this 50. It'll help.
Take whatever you can get out of it now. That's what I'd say to you.
You can get anything out of it. But then they were threatening to take that off me. And I just said, you know, well, I write a letter back stating, you know, if you do this, and I'll go to the cops and I report theft and whatever. And I, you know, that's a bit bloody too complicated and a lot of effort. I just returned to sender. And I returned to sender. And guess what? Just a few days ago, I got my monthly payment and my pension. But that was about 6 weeks ago then.
Lovely. Result.
There you go. Return to sender.
Happy days.
And it has always worked for me. I've been doing it for 4 or 5 years, the return to sender. I've been great fun with it. I enjoy.
You're supposed to have fun.
Postcards. If I return to sender on it, I enjoy it. My home, you know, the Elvis song, "Return to Sender." Off you go, boys. Bye. Have a safe journey. Just don't let it into your life, you know.
Yeah, it just sounds simple. You know, people just have too much fear.
Yeah, simple.
Just a lot of fear.
Yeah, return to sender is simple. The official offer is simple, and they work. That's what we want. But simple solutions out there, because you can't go out there and teach people who are brainwashed by TV and medicated up to the hilt on law and legal stuff. It's just too much.
It doesn't go in, Bryzer, does it?
No.
Well, Bryzer,
I have a problem with it. I mean, I've looked into it a bit, and I can see there's a lot of good stuff in there, and yeah, you could use that. But still, you have to try and remember it, and you know, give precedence when these things happen, and you have to remember an awful lot.
Yeah, no, that's for solicitors and barristers. That's not for Joe Soap.
That's their job, and they get well paid for it.
Exactly.
You have nothing. You're going to go in and defend yourself against these guys. They will crucify you. But if you use simple little solutions, like official offer is the one. It's brilliant.
I think so. I have absolute belief in it, Bryzer. Absolutely.
And I know of him because I've done it for 3.5 years, so it's been part of my life for the last 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And it's kept the vampires from the door. Like putting a couple of rings of garlic around the door. They're not coming in. Crucifixes. They ain't coming in here.
Yeah, no entry. Private.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I want you, I'll call you.
Now you have peace of mind. You can do stuff on your day. Great. So.
Well, as I said, Brian, tonight I'm talking, saying that a big part of it is, I mean, could you imagine the amount of people in Ireland right now who don't know whether their home is going to be there when they get back, as in, is it going to be repossessed? Could you imagine knowing you have to go to work, you have to leave your home exposed, hoping that you can get into it when you get home at the end of a night's work? Could you imagine that in your life?
No.
That's horrific. That is horrific.
Mm.
I think that's horrific. It's disgusting.
I say the world is run by psychopaths, and it is.
It is.
Because only psychos will do this.
Yeah.
But I think we also have to look in the mirror and say that we are in some way responsible as well. Okay, we've been brainwashed, but we are, you know.
We've accepted the brainwashing, Brother.
That's right.
We've lined up for it. We queued for it, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, we did. We bought into the whole thing. Yeah. Hook, line, and sinker. We jumped in. Yeah, give me some of that.
Yeah, but no more. Those days are
gone. Those days are gone now, and you say, right, you fool me once.
Exactly.
Right. Not going to fool me twice.
Mm-hmm.
And we fight back. And when you stand in your own power and you know who you are as a man, you're here for a reason. You know,
Brizer, you hear people use that expression all the time. But when you've actually been there and done it, I mean, you actually went in there and you see, you actually did, you literally stood in your power and you combined your power with knowledge, simple basic knowledge of the true strength of their system. And you said, have a bit of this, boys and girls. And there was nothing they could do.
That's exactly what I did. I just threw it in there. Have a look at that, lads.
Yeah.
What's
legal garlic. There's a pile of legal garlic for you.
There was a registrar thinking, oh, here's this man coming up now. Oh, we'll let Jordan through. We'll give him a little bit of space, you know.
Yeah. Actually.
And then
Do you think they totally underestimated you, Brizer? Because that came out of the blue them, didn't it? Underestimated you because that came out of the blue with that guy, didn't it?
Came right out of the blue. But I knew what I was going to say How am I going to defend myself here? What have I got to give to defend myself? And I knew what I'd been doing for 3.5 years, official offer. Here you go, lads. Have a look at that.
Yeah.
And
do you think he knew, Brizer, or was he just some barrister solicitor that they just stuck on the case that day? Did he actually not know?
Some solicitor they just stuck in there, you know, because on the first hearing, they never go for repossession. They always adjourn them. Unless you actually say, yeah, you can take my house, but no, you know, it's just it's a kind of first hearing, if you know what I mean. It's like,
the initial,
but you have a few chances, like, it's not, it doesn't end here, you know, you have
it's the fill in your dance card, it's not the actual dance.
And you know why, by their doing that, Vin, they actually are giving you some time to do something.
They're giving you time to put an official offer in them, basically.
Yeah, they are actually. And when you come back to them after that bit of time and say, here you go, lads, this fella's done his homework, case dismissed, goodbye.
Yeah. No, I mean, you think about it, Brizer. As long as you stick to your guns, what the hell can they do? What can they do? I mean, let's say they say, oh, well, we judge this mortgage to be unsustainable. Are you telling me to stop paying, Judge?
Yeah.
No, I'm not telling you to stop paying. Are you telling them to stop accepting my payment? Yeah. No, well then, I'll keep paying, thanks very much. God bless. Out the door. Because he can't rule, he can't tell you to stop paying that debt.
No, he can't.
Cannot. And he can't tell them to stop accepting. He can't. They're screwed. The official offer process is absolutely...
It nails bullet. It nails
shit out.
Yeah. And it's just it's fantastic. It's just... Anybody I've told people around here that I know, if anybody's in mortgage difficulties, just call me. I'll go and see them. I have it all here, what to do, what I did, go for it. But there is this thing here in Ireland, Ben, as you know yourself, this bit of pride, you know, this kind of, can't go tell people about my debts, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, Graham Hart is typing there away to me on Skype, and he's loving what he's hearing about the whole thing. He's wondering, would you be interested in coming on with him on Tuesday night, maybe, to do an interview? Because he's fascinated by this, apparently.
Tuesday night. Yeah. What time is he on it?
He's on, where am I? Let's go look on my computer here. He's on Tuesday, 9 to 11 p.m.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool, yeah. Sorry, Stephen, we're taking over your show here.
Don't worry about it, Bryzer. I'm listening intently, too, also.
So you've done the official offer yourself. I hear that you went bankrupt or something. And
well,
sorry to hear that, but...
if I would have known about it.
So that's the main thing.
I never got a chance to do it. If I would have known about it, I probably would have tried it.
Yeah. Well, you know now. It's never too late.
Well, that's been 11 years ago. I went through the bankruptcy and...
And how did that go for you over there? What's it like? Like, what happens in a bankruptcy procedure?
Do
they take everything, or do they give you something to live on, or what? How does it work?
I didn't have any kind of wage garnishment or anything like that. They didn't try to take any money. The lawyer tried to work with me and wanted to work with me. Wanted to know what I wanted to try to keep. Wanted to know what I wanted to let go to the bank.
So you have to be prepared to let something go.
Oh yeah, yeah. But yeah. Like I told Vin earlier, they had told me that I could make partial payments on my utilities, my truck payments, my this, that, and the other.
That's an official offer.
Propane gas, yes. But the lawyer fell short of telling me that. Well, he actually told me I had to make full payments on the mortgage.
Yeah.
I could not get away with making partial payments.
Mm-hmm. No, well, you got through it anyway, and I'm sure that was a distressing time for you, you know?
Oh, yes.
Nobody needs to go through that, really, you know, when you think about it.
Well, it's very humiliating.
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's like you failed.
Yeah.
Like when you're in school, you failed your exam, and you feel, oh, my God, I failed. I have to tell my parents I failed, you know?
Oh, yes.
It's not nice, you know. And that's the way it's designed, isn't it? You failed, you know, you're on the scrap heap now, you know.
Yeah.
But you fight back, and I was on the scrap heap and I fought back. I'm still here, I'm still fighting back, and it's cool.
Yeah, that's
cool. In fact, the last 6 or 7 years have been the most enlightening years of my life. Just waking up to what's really going on.
Yeah,
what's happening, and, you're just stepping outside of the box. Incredible.
Well, I've heard Vin say so many times that it's so exhilarating just not to have these worries.
Yeah.
You know? If you can take care of yourself if you're able to, that's a powerful feeling.
I don't worry anymore. I'm not actually afraid anymore. And as far as I'm concerned, the only way they're gonna take me out is to put a bullet through my head.
Yeah. Yeah, the same hair, Bryzer.
Maybe at least I'll die a free man and not surrender.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and that's, you know.
That was
whatever happens after that doesn't matter. I'll be up in another dimension or wherever the hell I go after that. I don't know. But
That was a movie one time, Bryzer. I can't remember the name of the movie now, but they caught the bad guy in the end and... he was turned around and he said, they told him to get on his knees and put his hands behind his back. And he said, you know what? You can kill me or you can arrest me, but I'm not getting on the ground like a slave or a dog.
Yeah.
I'm not getting on my knees like a slave or a dog. So do what you need to do. And they just walked up to him and arrested him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I feel too, you know?
Yeah, it just comes a time when you draw a line in the sand and say, that's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's it. And I have drawn a line in the sand a long time and say, that's it.
Well, I don't know if I'm not smart enough to be scared anymore. I just don't know. Does it take brains to be scared? Or does it take a lot of knowledge to be scared?
You can be scared, but don't let it kind of control you. Fear can be a good thing because it gets you into... gets the adrenaline going on you think.
Yeah.
You can think clear, you know. Like, right, what do I have to do now? I have to do something now. And you go with your gut instinct, whatever it is at that time, and you just go with it. And generally, it works. And if it doesn't work, well, you did what you had to do.
Yeah.
So.
Stephen?
Yes.
Is Vin back here?
Sorry. Sorry. Yeah, it's just I'm going to bail out, folks, because this computer is going to fry if I don't do something.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and end this here, Ben. I've been up for a long, long time, and I'm still kind of still trying to recuperate from that 500-mile drive the other day.
Okay, well, look, thanks very much. Really appreciate it. Fair play to your browser. And,
I'll see you in a few days, and I'll give you a shout.
If you come on Tuesday night in the show, he'd be absolutely thrilled, he said.
Yeah, I'll come on and do that, yeah.
Excellent. Good night, folks. God bless.
Yes.
Okay, then. Take care, Stephen. Thanks for inviting me on, and talk to you again.
Yes, you're both welcome. Thanks for coming on, Phyllis.
Okay, good night.
Good night. All right, everyone. I'm finished for the night. I'm kind of pooped. I know it's getting late over there. It's not really late over here, but it's late to me. So take care, everyone. Till next time. I'm Stephen Roberts. This has been Cancel a Cabal. Good night, everyone.